This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Great to be along with you with our producer, Drew Young. I'm Tom Ackerman. Great to be back in studio. Nice sunny day in downtown St. Louis. It's March. It's time to talk basketball, baseball in game mode as they play spring training games. We have one today at noon, 12:10 first pitch against the Marlins. We also have a lot going on with hockey. Folks, the Blues are back. The Blues are back in the race. They're a point out of the playoff race in the Western Conference as you wake up this morning. And they have a game today at 5. We're going to talk to Joey Vitale, who I got to spend some time with this week. He will talk hockey with us at 10:45. Hello, the St. Louis Billikens are back. They are in the picture. They are Josh Schertz at this time was already creating buzz. He got left out of the NCAA tournament. He's going to try to force himself in here with the Billikens this time. Indiana State got wrongly let out of the tournament. They were boxed out as they did not win Arch Madness. They were not an at-large. It was a bad way, I thought, even though they went to the NIT final and lost, but kind of a sour taste in their mouth. Well, he comes out and blitzes Loyola last night. Yesterday afternoon, 98-67. We're going to talk to him at 10:30 about his team. Mizzou's fine. They lost at Vanderbilt, but a good team. I have no worries about them whatsoever. A little concerned about Illinois, although they bounced back and smoked Iowa. I'd like to see what they can do at Michigan today. What a great win that would be for their confidence and their seeding going into the Big Ten tournament. SIUE, congratulations to them. Very nice win over Arkansas Little Rock, getting themselves a double bye in the OVC tournament, and they will have, I think, a pretty tough team to beat. They could make the tournament. You know, you could have Mizzou and Illinois in the tournament and then hope that SLU can get in, but Southeast Missouri State or SIUE could have a shot at getting in at the OVC. And then, of course, the Valley's always wide open. The Missouri Valley Conference is wide open. I'm not sure who's going to win that, although Drake is the number one seed. It doesn't mean that you're going to win. One thing I could guarantee you is that it would be I'll be upset. I can't guarantee they're going to get in, but I will be upset if Drake goes to the Arch Madness final, let's say, and loses, and they don't get into the NCAA tournament. That is an absolute travesty. I mean, they are a ridiculously good team at 26-3 right now. They'll be playing Missouri State later today. That covers basketball. You've got baseball obviously going on. We're going to talk to Matt Pauly about everything Cardinals here in just a little bit. You even have NASCAR and IndyCar running on the same day. Circuit of the Americas for NASCAR down in Austin, the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg for the IndyCar drivers. So we'll keep an eye on that. We've got a big year at Worldwide Technology Raceway about to happen with NASCAR playoffs coming to St. Louis. Playoffs? That's right, NASCAR playoffs coming to St. Louis in September. IndyCar, of course, always runs here, but they switched it. Now IndyCar is going to run in June. IndyCar will run Father's Day weekend. How cool would that be? Father's Day, you can take your dad, your son, your grandpa to go see IndyCar. And then NASCAR will be in September, and they'll have all the stuff, the music festival, everything else that they put in there for that. And, of course, it's football season. And I know we just had the Super Bowl and the college football playoff. No, the Battlehawks are about to start. They're going to be playing at the Dome, and we're going to hear from their coach, Kyle Kasky, in just a little bit. He is their running backs and special teams coach, back for another year with Anthony Becht. Now, he'll be with us at 11:15 today. So here's the lineup again. There's so much to talk about here with regard to sports. We have, first and foremost, Matt Pauly. He's standing by and is going to join us at 10:15. Josh Schertz at 10:30. Joey Vitale, Blues broadcaster, at 10:45 to talk about the tear that the Blues are on right now. And I think it's real. This is not, what am I looking for? You know, a team that is just kind of figuring it out. No, they figured it out. I mean, they look like a Jim Montgomery hockey team. And I think they could make a little run here. They are. They're 6-1-2 in their last nine. At 11:15, we'll discuss football with Kyle Kasky. Then John Mozeliak at 11:30. Get his review of what the Cardinals look like in their first week. We'll ask him about the organizational direction here, how he plays a role in that, what he sees from Nolan Arenado, who he tried to trade and wasn't able to, what he sees from Wilson Contreras at first base and what they're trying to do there at first. I do think they're trying to work Contreras into more of a DH first base role, and that will open things up for Alec Burleson at first. But we'll ask him about that. And the outfield, I think, is the most intriguing thing of all, because this outfield competition will get real if Victor Scott keeps playing well. And I look forward to seeing what that looks like out there with Nootbaar, with Siani, with Victor Scott. And, of course, you've got Brendan Donovan and Jordan Walker out there, and they need them all to play well. Obviously, those big boys need to play well for the Cardinals to be a contender. Cardinals a contender? I thought we were talking about the Cardinals resetting the organization. No, actually, the Cardinals are, I think, a contender for a wild card spot, maybe even a push in the NL Central, but everything's got to go right. Everything has to go right for them. So we'll talk about it with John Mozeliak. And, of course, we'll put it all in perspective with Bernie Miklas, as we always do at the end of the show at 11:45. Then we go to Cardinal Baseball, Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. I'll be there a week from today. Can't wait. John Mozeliak, Matt Pauly, they're both there. They're on the show. Matt joins us next. It's sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
You know, I was up paying attention to that City game last night. It started at 9:30. Matt Pauly, it started at 10:30, if he wanted to pay attention to that. He's joining us live from Jupiter, Florida, the spring training home of the Cardinals. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Actually, I was up, and I watched much of it last night.
I'm sure you did. You got to pay attention to all sports just like me, and you have a lot going on down there. I have a week until I get down to Jupiter, Florida. I'm looking forward to seeing all the guys. And a week full of games, Matt. What have been your observations so far? They've gotten after it.
Yeah, I think pitching so far has been pretty solid. That's been the first thing that I've noticed, both from a starter standpoint and also from a standpoint of the relief pitchers who are kind of competing for jobs. You know, Gordon Graceffo yesterday, Tekoa Robey's looked pretty good. Yesterday, Wilson Contreras, the home run that he hit was just, it was a mammoth shot over 450 feet. He looked really good at first. Still not seeing much from Nolan Gorman. He's really struggling, doesn't have a hit yet. I asked Oliver Marmol about that yesterday, and he said it's just the process of him continuing to work through things, that he looks really good during batting practice, and it just hasn't started to be seen in games yet, and he hoped that that will eventually happen. So I guess those are kind of my overwhelming narratives that I've seen from this team so far.
I did like hearing from Nolan Arenado that 108 off the bat. He said he hadn't hit one that hard in a year. It seems like a big deal to me.
Yeah, he had that game where he had the two hits, the home run and the double, and he looked really, really good. He's looked solid at third base. You knew he was going to look solid at third base. But Tom, you know this, if he can start turning on the ball, if he can start pulling it with power, maybe he reverts back to a little bit of what he was before last year and even the year before, where we start to see a little bit decline. It's connected to the bat speed, and he did a lot of work in the offseason trying to increase the bat speed, both from a weight room perspective and also from a kind of other fitness type things they were doing, quick twitch muscles, things like that. So I think Arenado's going to have a much better season this year.
I want to go back to Gorman for a minute. It is way too early to panic about Nolan Gorman. He obviously, you don't want him to get into his own head, so the Cardinals will approach this thing like it's no big deal. But at some point, he will have to deliver. Have you seen a change in his swing? Has he talked about a change in approach? What sort of changes did they make in the offseason with Nolan?
Yeah, so he's been spending a ton of time with Brent Brown. They were together in Arizona. I'm no hitting like guru by any stretch of the mind, but when you watch him in batting practice and when you watch him during live PP sessions, to me it seemed like it was a much tighter swing. So that's part because of the strikeout issue. That's what you want to have. Now, bluntly, in the games, it's looked much like what it looked like last year. I mean, it's 12 at-bats, 7 strikeouts, no hits. That is not what you want to see. But again, I think to your point, Tom, they are trying to downplay it because it is still early on in spring. He's still trying to implement all these tweaks that he's made. I don't think it's a shocker that it hasn't come around yet. But to your point, at some point in time, it does have to come around. If you're going to give this guy the runway that they want to give him, he does have to produce at least a little bit.
Your lineup today, Wynn, Donovan, Nootbaar, Arenado, Herrera, Gorman, Walker, Baker at first base, and Ciani in center field. We have a question on the stream here. Why is Herrera catching? Well, I'll let you answer that, but doesn't Herrera need to be catching?
Yeah, I don't know what the point of that question is. I mean, him and Páez are alternating starts just about every day. It was Páez, if I remember correctly, in the lineup yesterday. So today it would be Herrera. So yeah, that's what it's Ivan Herrera. And you know what? Too, there was a lot of discussion about him 2 days ago about the work he's put in, because if he can be a guy who can throw runners out, he just lengthens the lineup, Tom. You put an 800 OPS guy right in the middle of your order. So I think it's so important for this team and their run scoring potential for Ivan Herrera to be a guy that you can really trust behind the plate.
Matt Pauly joining us live from Jupiter, Florida. Wilson Contreras, William's a heck of a player up in Milwaukee. Wilson Contreras is not catching anymore. He is playing first base, but I have a feeling you're also going to see a lot of him at DH. This is about getting his bat in the lineup as often as possible. Two-part question. One, how has he looked at first base? I hear very good. Secondly, and from what I've seen on TV, very good, but you've seen more reps than I have. Secondly, how is that first base position shaping up with Baker getting a start today and obviously Burleson getting a look?
Yeah, so first off, Wilson's looked great. I was expecting him not to look great because it's a brand new position. You know, some of those mental type things of, you know, when to go for a ball, when not to go for a ball, when to take it first himself, when to underhand to a pitcher cover, like all that stuff. He's been right on. There's been balls coming off the bat at 100 plus miles per hour. He has handled them without a problem. I mean, this guy looks like a guy so far who's played a lot of first base. Now, at some point, I know we're going to see an issue here and an issue there. It's just going to happen. But I think he's looked really good. You know, the first base DH thing also connects to Nolan Gorman, because I think it almost comes down to who do you want in the lineup, Alec Burleson or Nolan Gorman more often? Because if you put Contreras as your DH a lot and Burleson at first, or even vice versa, if Contreras is at first and Burleson is your DH, then all of a sudden that connects to where Gorman's going to be. Is he going to be at second? How is that going to impact Donovan? How does it impact the center field spot with Lars Nootbaar? So it's an issue, and it's going to continue to be an issue. And when Oliver Marmol's been asked about it, he says that, you know, when they make these decisions, they're making the decisions both for 2025, but they're also looking at the long-term impact of these decisions as well. So I don't know what's going to happen. Like, my feeling right now is that Alec Burleson is actually going to be the guy who's on the kind of the short end of the stick. I think we're going to see Nolan Gorman get a lot more time at as the DH, allowing Donovan to play second, Nootbaar in center, and either Ciani or Scott in center field, depending on what happens. But Alec Burleson can certainly do something about that, and if he proves that he's a bat that you can't have out of the lineup, then they're going to have to adjust to it.
Matt Pauly in Jupiter, Florida with us. The comment from DLW1904, Contreras is picking it up from last year. Yeah, he is. I mean, his bat looks great, and I think that if the Cardinals start to see a regular appearance from him in that fashion, they're going to be tough to deal with. I think they're a playoff team if he's healthy and hits last year. Tommy Cross also checked in. He said he meant Contreras. Well, Contreras is not catching, nor will he ever. He's going to be first base and DH. Tommy was the one asking about Herrera, so just a little confused there. That's okay. Look, it's spring training for the fans also. Let me ask you this about pitching. Steven Matz is the pitcher today throwing to Herrera. What are the expectations right now for Steven Matz? How has he looked in his sessions? And obviously the Cardinals are starting to show a little bit more depth in the rotation if something wouldn't work out with him or others.
Yeah, the expectation for Matz is that if he is healthy, he's going to be a guy who can be in the rotation and certainly perform at a fairly high level. He looked very good in his first start of the year, where he went two scoreless innings, a lot of ground balls for him. I think fans sometimes, and Matz at times has not pitched well. I'm not trying to just gloss over that fact, but I think sometimes people confuse his ability to stay healthy versus his ability to pitch at a somewhat high level. When he is consistently healthy, he's a pretty good pitcher. He had one stretch where that absolutely was not true when he got thrown into the bullpen a couple years ago. But outside of that, if he's healthy, he's a solid, you know, back of the rotation starter. The question continues to be, can he stay healthy? And the other question is, what happens with a Michael McGreevy and a Quinn Matthews? And by the way, Matthews down to a minor league camp, so he's going to go from there, which, you know, anybody who thought that he was going to make the big league roster for opening day, that kind of comes off the table. Not that I thought that was much of a possibility. But right now, Steven Matz is going to be given every opportunity to be in that rotation. We'll see what it looks like from a health perspective at the end of spring and how that's going to impact Michael McGreevy. But I think the expectation for the club right now is that Steven Matz is in the rotation and that he's healthy and that he pitches at a somewhat high level.
Yeah, just let Quinn Matthews throw. I mean, it, you know, let him pitch, and then if you need to go get him at some point, go get him. I think one of the big things going on here, Matt, is health. So far, so good, right? I mean, knock on wood, but how do we look health-wise?
Really good. I hate talking about it, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
Because you just knocked on your table. I'll do the same over here in Jupiter. We'll try to get those forces to come together.
This window frame over here is wood. I'm going to hit this.
Yeah. Still very good. Very good. Still really early on in camp. Somebody's going to get banged up at some point in time. Nobody comes out of spring training 100% healthy. But this is... this is good. And look, I don't think the staff changes are having an impact right now. There just wasn't enough time to like implement things. But when we talk about the way that they're going to do things from a performance standpoint moving forward, maybe that is going to be good for the Cardinals in terms of health. So I don't know. Let's just hope it stays the way it is. And the only guy who's dealt with anything is Drew Rahm, who was dealing with stuff last year anyways, and got taken off the 40-man. So far, so good from an injury standpoint.
Matt, before we let you go, anything else that has jumped out and anything new this morning news-wise that we should know about?
Yeah, the Quinn Matthews thing was the first thing. Chase Davis had previously been sent down to minor league camp as well. He was the first guy to go. So now that everybody's here, we'll see that more and more. And you know, pitchers are going to go deeper into games now, so there's just going to be less innings available. Guys are going to play deeper into games as well, so there's going to be less at-bats available. So this is going to be a pretty constant thing here from now until the end on guys going to minor league camp. Yeah, that's everything has just kind of been status quo. It's been just a nice, solid camp, Tom. I heard you earlier talking about expectations for this team. I agree with you. If everything does go right, this is a team that absolutely can contend for a playoff spot this year.
The Spring Training Report, sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, Norm's Bargain Barn. We hear from Matt Pauly every single day on that front. We appreciate it very much. We'll hear from you tomorrow morning on Total Information AM and throughout the week. Your final week, big boy, as you head on out of there, and I will take things over. I'll take the baton from here.
Happy to be here. Also happy to get back in a week or so.
I know that. Thank you, pal. Matt Pauly with us, Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. We are the home of the Cardinals, and we have a game at 12 with the pregame, 12:10 with the first pitch against the Marlins. When we come back, we're also the home of the St. Louis Billikens. Look out, folks. If they play like that, I don't know who's going to stop them. I mean, seriously, how do you beat the Billikens if they are shooting the ball like that? They hit 18 threes yesterday. That's obscene. We'll talk to the coach, Josh Schertz, about it next on KMOX.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
Swope. Killed his dribble, skips it over to Jimerson. One touch, one shot. Bang!
Guys are locked in. He took the double team.
Swope on the dribble. Swope, a little hesitation to the elbow. Open space in the middle of the floor. In the paint, Robbie wants an NBA shot. Bang!
Oh, Robbie, having a night.
Yes, baby.
My goodness. I mean, it is March, folks, and the Billikens sure played like it. Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you. And this Billiken Report is sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We are pleased to be joined live by the head coach of the St. Louis University Billikens, Josh Schertz. Good morning, coach.
Morning, Tom. How's it going?
Going great. 98-67. The win, SLU beats Loyola and moves into a third-place tie in the Atlantic 10 with Loyola and Dayton and St. Joseph's. Quite a win. I know you're proud of everything that went on last night and yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was our most complete, obviously, team performance of the year. Did a good job on both ends. Of course, basketball is like that. We've talked a lot about throughout the year, shooting variance and just thought certainly was awesome to see the ball go in at that level. 18 threes, but it was the force we played with, the way we shared the ball, the way we, ball and body movement, the way we generated those shots. And then it obviously, when you got guys like Gibb and et cetera, Robbie, Swope, on and on, Amari at the tail end of those, that was good. So makes you look good.
It does. I heard two things in those radio calls. One, I heard drawing a double, and the other one, I heard Robbie from long distance. That sounded like a confidence shot to me, and then the other one is just feeling the double coming. That is a big part of your offense, isn't it, is feeling that and finding the open man.
Yeah, anytime you can, the key offensively, and there's various ways to do it, but you're always trying to attack, play with great force, and punch gaps into space. And so whether that's driving the basketball, posting it, rolls, cutting, you're trying to make sure you're putting pressure on the rim, you're creating, engaging that low man in help, and then you're playing advantage basketball behind that and then making the right reads. And, we did a lot of good things yesterday in terms of, driving the ball. We got some good rolls. Robbie's post game was probably the best way we got, pressure on the rim, because they obviously we're switching, putting smaller guys on them. Rob's gotten much better and much more comfortable in those dribble downs against smaller guys, drawing the double team. And then, once he puts two to the ball, he's such an elite passer, and he's making those passes, making those reads. And we were able to get some skip opposite threes, able to get some cuts for Kalu for layups, and a lot of good things happened. But did it in a variety of ways. But, as you said, once you get two to the ball, which is the whole key to offense, then it's just the decision-making, comes behind that.
It has been quite a run here as the Billikens have put together a 98-67 win over Loyola. I know we're going to focus on it. We'll talk a lot of offense here. We're going to focus on 98. It's a big number. But I wanted to ask you about your team defensively and how they have looked from that standpoint.
Yeah, I think we've been getting better and better all year long. It's something where I would say early in the year, through the first, 11 games or so, I thought we were pretty horrific on that end of the floor. And defense requires so many different things, but energy and commitment and discipline to game plan are at the top of those lists, right? Competitiveness, communication, connectivity. Defense is really about a lot of invisible plays that, people don't see or talk about, or whether that's ball pressure, deflections, blowing up ball screens, being pulled in. I mean, you go through a gazillion things. A lot of what happens on that end of the floor is nuanced and probably lost to most people, not box score validation. Our commitment level on that end of the floor all year has been growing. The game plan yesterday, how we guarded them, was something we hadn't done. So for our guys to be able to take that in a one-day prep, because we didn't practice Wednesday, we didn't practice Thursday, we just did some skill development and film, and to really do it in a one-day prep and then be able to go out and execute it, I think that just shows the growth that we're having across the board. It wasn't, we obviously never going to play perfect, but we did that about as well as you could do on a one-day prep, and all across the board, our commitment level, our energy level, the commitment to the invisible plays, the discipline to the game plan of what we're doing defensively, because we're very much, we're going to game plan for a specific team. We have, of course, a base of what we're going to do, but then it's nuanced to how we're going to guard in a particular opponent, and guys have gotten much better in that area.
I wanted to ask you about that prep time. Last time I talked to you was after that loss to Loyola. I know that was a tough one, and then you had a full week before you hosted Rhode Island. Was that beneficial? Did you get healthy? Was there anything good that came out of that, being able to take a breath after those three straight losses?
thought it was huge for us. I think we were tired at the end of that, more so mentally than physically. I know, you know, we're playing guys a lot of minutes and whatever, but, you know, it wasn't really that as much as it. I think there was a mental fatigue. We had, you know, gone on a 7-game stretch where we played 4 on the road. Our 3 home games were, you know, against, at the time, the 3 top teams in the league, you know, VCU, Mason, and Dayton. We'd gone on, I think we played, you know, we had traveled a bunch and had some longer road trips. And anyways, I thought it was just a great time to reset. And we told guys to get away. You know, we lost that Saturday. And, you know, and we gave them off Sunday, Monday, and then did some skill development Tuesday and didn't really get back into practice until Wednesday. It was, I guess, a Friday game. So we took off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and came back Tuesday. And we had a 4-day ramp up to Rhode Island. And we just thought about coming back. Hey, you know, this is a new season. You know, it's a break. It's a chance to rest, rejuvenate, fill our cups back up. And then, you know, a 4-day, really our last big practice block of the season, you know, let's attack this new season, 5 games. Once we, you know, when we had whatever 16, 17 days, we came back, you know, to rest of the regular season, 5 games, whole new season. Let's attack this. We still control our own destiny for everything that we want to do outside of winning a regular season championship. Let's refocus on that. And I thought our guys did a really good job of attacking the new season. You know, with a 5-game stretch, we're 3-0, and there's 2 more big ones in front of us.
You got a big one against Davidson. Man, oh, man, is that a win. I mean, really, really special. You're down by 13, I do believe. Yeah, you were down 13 with 6.5 to go and rallied for the victory. And you know what, Coach Schertz, you had Isaiah Swope with 23, a big, big day. He doesn't shoot as well yesterday, but he gathers 7 rebounds. You know, you're always finding a way to contribute. In that Davidson game, Jimerson didn't shoot the ball all that well, and then he erupts for 9 yesterday. It just shows you that trio, I know there are more outside of it, but that trio of Avila, Swope, and Jimerson, if you can get 1 or 2 of them going, you got a great chance.
Yeah, I mean, when you got 3 guys that are that prolific offensively, you hope to have, you know, at least 2 going at the same time. You know, in the first half at Davidson, it was only Isaiah Swope. I think we had 18 points and he had 14. So if we were 2 for 18 as a team, besides him, you know, Gibb had some good looks. They didn't go in. Robbie had a couple decent looks. So we looked really slow and lethargic offensively in the first half. I thought our defense, you know, kept us in. We talked about that defensively. You know, we've really made a big jump from December to now, post-Christmas to now, in terms of that end of the floor. And, you know, you go into halftime, we got 18 points. I don't know if I've ever seen a worse offensive half from a team of mine. And we're only down 9 points. And and as you said, you know, Swope, some big shots. We're down 51-38 with 6.5 to go. And this team has shown, you said, you know, it can be maddening at times, you know, stuff we do, turnovers, get loose in different parts of the game, some mental errors. But, you know, what makes them fun to coach is I know they care deeply. They don't play perfect, but they have perfect intentions when they play. And they're going to play you now to the final whistle. And, I mean, just big play after big play in that last 6.5 minutes. Closed the game on a 19-5 run. And, you know, Amari with a couple of huge baskets. Robbie hadn't made a 3. You know, he makes a big 3. Gibson was like 1 for 10. He makes a huge one. Swope makes a big one in the final 40 seconds. We get a ton of stops. And then, obviously, you know, get the ball to Rob there on the last play. And, I mean, he makes an incredible shot over, under Reed Bailey to put us up. And you know, you come take one. But that's, you know, we've done that a couple times now. You know, UMass, Richmond, and Davidson are 3 games that I think we had a 90-plus percent chance on the analytics to lose down big late and rally back and find a way to win. And, you know, that's a credit to our guys and their competitive spirit, their competitive will. And I think that's something you can build with a championship DNA. And we're starting to see some signs of that here in this, you know, post-Christmas run.
It's March, and here you go. I mean, you're in the postseason picture again, but a different situation than last year. Last year, you captured America's attention. You were wrongfully left out of the NCAA tournament. I will say that emphatically. You should have been an at-large after losing in Arch Madness, but they didn't let you in, and you went on to the NIT final. Now you have people's attention again, but it's different. You control your own destiny. You're not getting a lot of help, but you're there, tied for third. with Dayton, and I mentioned with St. Joseph's and Loyola, you can finish the deal and really put some heat on this conference.
Absolutely. You know, March is there's nothing better than playing high stakes games in March. You know, we've been going since June. You know, it's when we really gear up. I think June 2nd, 9 months ago, was the opening practice. And, you know, you work, you know, one of the things we talk about, you know, in our program, we have two goals every year. One's to play to our standard every single time we put the jersey on. And that's really the micro goal. And we got to, you know, you develop into that. You know, what's your standard? Do you play to that every time you go out there? And then the second goal, which is more macro, is to be at our very best when it matters most. And when it matters most is now, you know, and starting now and on into the postseason. Elimination time comes for every team. It doesn't matter if it's in your conference tournament or the NCAA tournament. Elimination time does come. And, you know, you can have a great season, you know, if you perform in the regular season, win a championship. I think no matter what happens in the postseason, you know, it's a great season, but I don't think you can have a special season unless you perform in the postseason. And so I think, you know, as we're getting down here to the end of February into March, when you're playing high stakes games, and we've been playing high stakes games here since we came back from this the bye week, and we're going to have two more, and then you go into DC. This is what you want. There's a pressure to play up to your standards, to play to your identity, to do it consistently, to find ways to win, and you know. That's what you want. That's why you work as hard as we do. And, you know, it's for this level of competition and put yourself out there and continue to find ways to get through the competition together. And that's what, you know, is what we want. And it doesn't get any easier this week. I mean, Dayton's going to be a bear, you know, be 13,000 plus in there. And then, you know, a really good Duquesne team at home. But, you know, it wasn't easy with Rhode Island and at Davidson and Loyola. And so, you know, this league, you know, it's every single game you got to be ready to answer the bell. That's the one thing in the A-10. There's not a night that you don't, you know, you got to answer the bell every single night. And every single night's a fight.
The great basketball town of Dayton, Ohio. I know that'll be a lot of fun to see those two go head-to-head. SLU at Dayton on Tuesday night at 6. We'll have it on KMOX. Can't wait. Thank you very much for the time, as always. It's a pleasure, and congratulations on a dominant win yesterday against Loyola. Good luck in Dayton.
Appreciate it, Tom. Appreciate you having me on, and we'll talk here next week and see you guys on Tuesday night.
Yep, and then I'll see you in person Saturday night when the Billikens have their home finale against Duquesne. That is Coach Josh Schertz. Always a pleasure to have him, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. When we come back, Blues Hockey Talk with Joey Vitale, Blues broadcaster, next.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, you got a triple header on TNT today, hockey fans, starting at noon. Toronto at Pittsburgh, 2:30, Boston at Minnesota, and then the Blues at Dallas. And the Blues are hot as can be. I get to spend the next... Now, let's see, 9 minutes with my pal, Joey Vitale. Blues broadcaster is with us on KMOX. Good morning, Joey.
Tom, what's going on? Not only your pal, but, of course, co-host. We brought it to the people the other day. Don't forget that.
We did bring it to the people on FanDuel Sports Network. I'm glad Alexa Dad is doing better, but it was nice to jump in there with you. You got a nice studio over there. I love that Ballpark Village studio. And we got to call, I think, maybe, or at least host the win of the year. Over the Capitals, the number one team in the league, they go in there and smoke them, and then they come home and beat a good Kings team, 4-1. The Blues are playing with incredible confidence.
You know, that's just it. It's just confidence right now, Tom. You know, it's the feeling, right? Every team in any sport, I mean, you call out sports, you cover sports, you watch sports. Whether it's golf and it's an individual sport or it's a team like the NFL, it's that feeling. You got to get to the rink. You got to get to the field. You got to get to the stadium. And you just are searching for that feeling. It's that special it factor. Every good team, every elite team's got that it factor. For the Blues in 2019, it was the Gloria, right? They had different little things that they brought to the table that just brought them confidence before they played. You know, everyone thinks that a confident team is a product of playing well. To me, it's the opposite. The confidence comes first. You have to approach the game with confidence, and then the result takes care of itself. And, you know, the confidence right now for this team is it's skyrocketing. And I go to that game last night, a perfect example of confidence is it doesn't always go right, but you stick with it. I mean, we're not talking about a team that hasn't dealt with any adversity over the last couple weeks. Look at last game. Look at last night. You're playing the LA Kings. You take a penalty in the first period. It's a horrible call. You get put in the box, and then Kevin Fiala continues to stay hot. He gets on the board. You're down 1-0 early. I mean, to me, that's the moment where you're like, okay, how is this team going to respond? A confident team goes right out there. Franco gets the goal, and they just continue to build and build and build. So that, to me, is what it's all about. It is a confident group, like you mentioned. They're getting contributions from every single line. They're getting great goaltending. Special teams has been good. And it's a good feeling right now at home, certainly. And now they're going to really attack the road, as the next six are going to be on the road. So road hockey is going to be super important with the trade deadline looming.
Yeah, it's well said. What do you think they do at the deadline if they continue to look like this?
I think they add. I think they add or do nothing. Because right now you're looking at a team that is playing great hockey. This isn't about necessarily points. I know it's points are important right now, and I'm not going to sit here and say that they don't matter. They matter. But, you know, Doug Armstrong has made multiple comments in the last couple seasons when he has made moves or has not made moves. It's less about points, less about where you're at the standings, less about where you're climbing. It's more about, does this team look like a team? Does this team look like it's getting it together? And, you know, last couple seasons, I think there was plenty of reason to doubt that, you know, with the inconsistencies, with the individual players not playing up to par. Now, right now, since coming out of that Four Nations two-week break, I have seen nothing but positives about the way this team is trending. They are trending in the right direction, and they're trending at the right time. I mean, Jim Montgomery, when he got hired, everything was habits. Everything was fundamentals. Everything was, how do we get this team to get rooted in those fundamentals? And then from there, we're going to build. Now, it took a lot of time, and time was of obviously not of the essence for Jim Montgomery, who signed a five-year deal. And for Doug Armstrong and Alexander Steen, they're like, well, take your time. Because take your time with the young guys. Take your time because we are okay with the time. I didn't necessarily think it would be this quick, but after a few months under Jim Montgomery, you're starting to see those fundamentals. You're starting to see the habits. You're starting to see the buy-in, right? Because why? Because you're getting results, right? Players, we're habitual by nature. You know, if we're a circler, we're going to keep circling. And then a coach is going to come in and say, no, I need you to stop and start. You're going to fight him a little bit. But over time and over repetition, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to stick with this. And then you start seeing the results as a byproduct. I mean, look at Jordan Kyrie last night. You know, play away from the puck. That was a big focus for Jim Montgomery. The kid had six hits last night. He had six hits, which was a season high for him, and he also had seven shots on goal. So you see that through physicality, through skating, through stopping and starting, not only is it going to help the team, it's actually going to help him. Because individually, I thought he had one of his best games. So it's just this whole process, and I think Jim has done such a good job of communicating that process. These players, they're getting the wins. And, you know, with that, it's just been a wonderful snowball effect of being positive in the right direction.
You read my mind on Kyrou. You just answered my question on that. He played a phenomenal game last night. He had that roughing penalty towards the end, standing up for himself, six hits. He's playing a great game, and that is a reflection of Montgomery and this hockey club and the coaching staff. As the Blues get the win 4-1, they'll be playing at Dallas today at 5. And then they continue that road trip on the West Coast. Meanwhile, back in St. Louis, the Blues are also involved here because the Blue Note Cup is happening at Centene Community Ice Center and Maryville University Hockey Center. And this is happening this weekend. It's just amazing how St. Louis has become a hockey hotbed. It really is remarkable, and the Blues are all over it.
They absolutely are, Tom. You know, I'll start with a personal thing, and then I'll get into the big picture. But last year for me was one of the most special moments personally at the Blue Note Cup, a memory I will never forget. You know, of course, I coached my son Harper. I coached my son Bodie. And then, of course, my daughter, Summer, who's 13, she played on a boys' team. And it ended up being her final game because now she's just focusing on volleyball. Maybe she'll get back into hockey, but she's all volleyball now. So in her final game last year, and I've been coaching her for 5-6 years, behind the bench, and they're in the championship game against the Chesterfield Falcons. And it's 0-0, and we're at the Plager Arena, and this place is just packed. And we're up, they're up, they're down, we're down, a 0-0, chance for chance. And then I kept telling the group of guys that, hey, stick with it. Let's get to the net. It's going to be a rebound goal. And with about a minute 40 or so left in that game, now, like I mentioned, a sold-out bar there, Plager, fans everywhere. I mean, layers of fans. shot from the point, and my daughter puts in the backhand rebound, and we end up winning. I believe we got an empty netter later for a 2-0 game, and just hugging my daughter and being a part of that moment with her and experiencing that with her. That's what every parent cherishes about the Blue Note Cup. That's, you know, win or loss. I mean, it's the hugs, it's the relationships, it's a season of culmination coming to an end, and then just having those memories built into that fabric of that relationship is truly everything. So that's what I will take to my grave. There's no question about it. But big picture, this is an unbelievable tournament that obviously is supported by the St. Louis Blues. And if you are a fan of hockey, if you're a fan of just energy and lightness and fun, go out to Centene today, anytime. Games are happening all day long. The championship day is today. You're going to walk into buildings and you're going to think it's a state championship or a national championship. You know, people flock out to Centene who don't even have kids playing in the games. I mean, we're talking about that kind of support where I know a lot of my friends who have no kids joining today, or maybe their kids got bounced last weekend, but they're going just to support. Yeah, the energy is so infectious out there, and it's just a wonderful experience. So I encourage everyone, if you have some time today and you're interested, go out there and see what it is, and you're going to see the growth of hockey, because to me it still is the best youth sport out there, and it's just wonderful to see all the community in full support of it.
Since partnering with the Missouri Youth Hockey for the annual Blue Note Cup State Championship beginning in 2016-17, the number of divisions competing for Blue Note Cups has expanded from 19 to 37. That is tremendous. So hello to all the hockey families who are in town for that. You are amazing. By the way, next Saturday's game, 7 p.m. Central, that's a rare early game from the West Coast, will be the second broadcast on KMOV, Matrix Midwest, and Victory Plus, all accessible for no extra cost. You can see him on FanDuel Sports Network. You can hear him on the radio. He is the one and only Joey Vitale joining us on KMOX today. We appreciate you, pal.
Hey, Tom, always a pleasure catching up with you, good friend. And it's always great to be back on KMOX, where I started my journey back in 2019 with that St. Louis Blues team that had a pretty special year that year.
They did. Go get another cup, all right? Thank you.
Sounds good, Tom. Have a great day.
You too. Joey Vitale with us with the St. Louis Blues. We're back for more after the news.
Giants forward. Pushes a pass to Cello. Now time in the middle. Oh, back flick by Klaus, but it's right at Stefan. Just dips to a knee and picks it up.
Joey Zanaboni, Dale Schilly with a call on Y98 FM, and that's how the season has gone so far for St. Louis City SC. They have not scored a goal. They also haven't allowed a goal. Two clean sheets for them, scoreless draws, and last night, a late one, not even 12 hours old, they ended up in a 0-0 tie with San Diego. Let's listen in. This is Coach Olaf Melberg. We'll be hearing from him in just a bit, his post-game press conference and visit on Y98 FM. You heard right there the call, Zanaboni and Schilly, and those two have been, I think, really good watching, observing, calling what has been now season three for City, and last year was a disappointment. But it was also a season that the team went through a lot. I mean, they played, 11 different center backs? They had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of change. They changed their coach early in year two, kind of midway through year two. After a very successful year one in which they won the regular season in the Western Conference, got knocked out of the playoffs. That left a bitter taste in their mouth. They came back and just did not play and were not as fortunate as they were in year one. Now, year three, the expectation is that this team makes the postseason, makes the playoffs, and makes a run. And so far, they have earned points. They have not scored, but they have also been very, very good defensively. Let's listen in. This is Olaf Melberg on that and more from San Diego.
Recording in progress.
Hey, Olaf. Is this kind of the reverse of last week where you felt you could have maybe should have gotten 3 points out of it? Were you kind of lucky to get 1 point out of it?
Sorry, Tom, I'm a little bit losing you there. I can't hear everything you're saying. Can you repeat that?
Sure. Last week you felt as though maybe you should have gotten 3 points out of that game. This week, considering the possession and the chances San Diego had, were you fortunate to get one point? Did that come through? hearing anything.
Well, we think Olaf and Tom Timmerman might just be having a little connection issue, but we do feel confident Olaf is going to share his thoughts with us on our City postgame show, Y98.
I don't know if I would call it fortunate, but obviously they had a lot of possession and created more chances than we did. So we're happy with the draw. Looking at how the game developed.
Concerns about the offense in these first two games?
Not in the first game. Today, for sure. I thought we lost the ball too easily and too quickly. I think that that's what made us defend for long periods of time. We knew this was a good possession team. So if you lose the ball easily and unnecessary, 8, 9, 10, 11 times in the first half in 45 minutes, you end up defending basically the whole half. So definitely we need to improve our build up, have more options there. So we don't end up defending most of the game.
It looked like the defense handled it pretty well for the. They were under pressure for much of the game, but did a good job.
Yeah, definitely. I thought we struggled a little bit first 10, 15. They found a couple of balls in behind us that were dangerous. But after that, we defended really, really well. I think the expected goals for them was 0.8. Credit again to the guys in the hard work they put in. They fought for each other and some strong individual defensive performances as well.
That is Olaf Melberg, head coach for City. And among those performances, I would say Henry Kessler. He led all players in defensive actions, interceptions, blocks, tackles with 15. City earning back-to-back clean sheets for just the fourth time in club history. The other three being from the 2023 stretch in March, July, and then actually April of last year, they had back-to-back clean sheets, and they have done this. Another note, Celio Pompeu made his first appearance for City in almost a year. June 14th, 2024 was the last time for Pompeu, and the City club gets a 0-0 draw with San Diego. You heard Olaf Melberg there talking about the defense, thought the atmosphere was really good, brought in Chris Durkin for Cedric Teuscher at halftime, said he wanted to be a little stronger there defensively. And Roman Berkey said he had no concerns about the team's offensive performance, saying, quote, "I think we played a really good team, which just didn't allow anything." He said, now after the game, we can always say we should have gone a little bit higher, tried a little bit to press higher, but he says the quality that I saw from San Diego was there, and it would have been maybe too much of a risk that they played us out and then we did not have enough guys behind the ball. So that's Roman Berkey's comment on the lack of offense. You heard a little bit of concern there from Olaf Melberg about the offense in game two rather than game one, but defensively his team has been solid. Zero goals allowed through two games, and they pick up a point on the road against San Diego FC. It'll get tough for them. They're going to face the reigning MLS Cup champions, LA Galaxy, on Sunday at 6 p.m. Central Time. But this one, a 0-0 draw at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. We'll take a break. When we come back, another sport is about to get going here in St. Louis, and that's football. The Dome is going to be rocking again with St. Louis Battlehawks fans making their way in to go see the Beehawks. We're going to talk it over with Kyle Kasky, their special teams coach and running backs coach, about all the changes that are being made, but some things they are carrying over from 24, which was a very successful season for St. Louis. We'll talk some Battlehawks, and then John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, at 11:30. Bernie Miklas at 11:45 before we take you to Cardinal Baseball on KMOX.
KMOX.
It is that time of year again, football in St. Louis. UFL season is upon us as the St. Louis Battlehawks play at the Dome in downtown St. Louis. Wasn't that a lot of fun last year until the end? Mike Martz and I had the call on that historic radio broadcast, first one for the Battle Hawks. We thought we were going to have a two-game package there as they were going to go to the championship in their own dome. As it turned out, they lost to San Antonio. But it was a heck of a year. Really fun. Great seeing the crowds in there. And joining us is a coach back for his second season with Anthony Becht, and that is Kyle Kasky, special teams coordinator, running backs coach for the St. Louis Battle Hawks. Good morning, coach.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
It's great to be with you. That was a fun year last year. As you know, you don't like to end with a loss, but every team ends with a loss except for the champ. And you made it to the conference championship, just couldn't pull it off last year. I'm sure that this year you got a little bit of that gnawing at you, ready to get something back.
You know, we had, like you said, we had such a good year, but then, you know, you play San Antonio three times, twice in a row, and that's no excuse. It's just, I mean, we just one of those games that we didn't quite play up to what we should have, and we all know that, and we're carrying that with us, that you can't have a lull at any point, whether it's at the end, at the beginning, and we got to, you know, we just play up to what we know we can do, worry about us, and that's been the big thing right now with these players. We got a lot of guys back. And a lot of these guys understand that feeling we felt when we flew back from St. Louis that night, and we don't want to feel that again.
You will get San Antonio again right away. Your home opener is actually April 6th against them, but first things first, at Houston on March 28th, the day after the Cardinals open their baseball season here in St. Louis at Busch Stadium, so everything's happening at once. What do you think about the team so far and what you've seen in terms of off-season assembly of this roster and now as you get into some training?
I think Dave Bowler and Coach Beck have done a great job of filling holes that we had. You know, there's guys that aren't back, but again, the guys that we got back, we retained a lot of our playmaker kind of guys. And there's guys that, you know, that maybe showed up on special teams. We had a special teams player of the year last year in Chris Garrett. And, you know, it's guys like that that we got back on this roster that have been in it, that know what we expect. And then we're filling, like, if you look at our receiver core, I mean, we loaded up at receiver. We've got some big-name guys, Denzel Mims, Andy Isabella, and all the guys we already had. Offensive player of the year, Akeem Butler, man. My running back room, we added a guy, Jarvion Howard, who I'm just telling you, played with the Packers and a really good player, and then along with Jacob Saylors, who obviously we all know what he did last year, and Kevon Latulis. So, I mean, we retooled our team, and I'm really excited to see it. Defensively, it was the same way.
You have to have that depth at running back, don't you? You want to continue to hit them with running backs off the sidelines. Saylors led the way. Who else is emerging?
We have a young guy that was with us during camp and came back late. Kevon Latulis played at Missouri State, so he's a local guy to you guys and in St. Louis. And it's like one of those things where I think his explosiveness and his type of play, because he really has that that second gear that when he gets in the open, he's going to be gone. And I'm excited to see him play. He came back towards the end of the year, and we used him more on special teams. But this Jarvion Howard guy we got, he started at Syracuse, ended up at Alcorn State. He's bounced around. He was in Green Bay's camp last year. And he's a bigger guy. I think he's 222 pounds. He's got the, you know, the thick thighs. You know, they always say thick thighs save lives. I think that's what the Memphis guy said last year. But he's one of those guys. He's a bigger back, going to bring that to our team. So we're looking forward to, you know, that. And again, having the depth is big, because you keep those guys fresh, it causes problems.
Absolutely. This is Kyle Kasky, St. Louis Battlehawks running backs coach and special teams coordinator. You mentioned Chris Garrett, special teams player of the year. You lose Darius Shepherd. He has called it a career. I really like him. Had a lunch with him last season. Had a nice chat with him. Nice young man. Also a heck of a player. So what do you see at the returner position?
Right now, it's a little bit up in the air, but we've got guys who've done it. We've got, Jakor Pearson, Peasy, number one, our receiver. He's done it before. He returned punts for us last year as well. Darius missed a couple games last year, and Darius did that. When Darius missed it, Jakor came in for him. And then Blake Jackson returned, a 75-yarder against D.C. last year. He's back in the receiver room. And then we'll find some of these running backs. Honestly, with the new kickoff rules, the running backs are actually kind of the guys that are making hay right now with the way that the blocking sets up with the new kickoff. So we'll give these guys a chance to see, and somebody's going to emerge. And yeah, it's hard to lose a guy like Darius, because I mean, that guy was second in the league in all purpose yards, and he missed two games. So yeah, that's, you know, we got to find somebody to replace him.
So people understand there is a change in the formation of kickoffs, right, Kyle? A little bit different, somewhat what the NFL is doing, something like that?
It's actually exactly what the NFL does, mm-hmm. other than the fact that we're kicking the ball from the 30. So we bump the kickoff back 5 yards from where they kick it, so we're trying to attempt to keep the ball out of the end zone and touchbacks. The other thing that's just different from the NFL is touchbacks will come all the way out to the 35. So if you do kick the ball out of the back of the end zone, you're just saying, here's the ball at the 35-yard line, which is not really what you'd like to do. But the guys are going to be aligned. The kickoff team will be aligned on the 40, the plus 40 on the other side of the 50 from the kicker. The kickoff team, the kickoff return team will be on the 35. And it's almost like the kickoff from last year where they can't move until it's like the NFL. You can't move till the ball's caught. But they're 5 yards away from each other. And like that old school, like Oklahoma drill type of mentality where it's one on one and, here comes the runner behind you. There's a lot of that. Now, there's some scheme to it, but it's really going to be more who wins their battles up front. And if the runner breaks through that line, there's not a whole lot of people there. It's not like you've got them staggered like you've had in the past with kickoff teams. So it'll be interesting to see which teams adapt to it quicker. We're working hard on that too right now, and we'll get that scheme in with these guys soon. But camp is short, and we got to find guys who want to win battles. And as long as they win battles, I think we're going to be fine.
This is Kyle Caskey, special teams coordinator, St. Louis Battlehawks, also their running backs coach. These players are good. I mean, they are just a step below the NFL. In fact, many of them advance onto the NFL, and you've had a coach advance. So you are a former NFL coach. You coach running backs with the Lions, Bengals. You've also coached with the Jaguars, and now Bruce Gradkowski moves to the Lions. I would say that's a feather in the cap of the St. Louis Battlehawks. You get him into a position where he gets picked up by Detroit, and now you move to a new coordinator in Phil McGagan.
Yeah, and we couldn't be more happy for Bruce. I mean, that's exactly why we did it. Players are here to get to that next level. We as coaches are here because either we're trying to break into it or we've been there and we're trying to get back in. And that's what we're doing. And again, it's not a knock on the league. I think that's a feather in the cap of the league, like you said, that somebody came and got a coach off of our staff at the highest level. And Bruce, with him leaving, yeah, it's going to be, it's always different just when a different person's voice is being said. But Phil was here with us last year, and I think Phil's going to do an amazing job for us. He collaborates with all of us that are here in the building really well. And the biggest thing is, man, we all get along. We all like each other. So I know that sounds crazy, but that goes a long way, especially when you're not around these guys all year and then you come back together. So we know each other. We respect each other. And it's going to be fun to see how this thing goes.
Well, that's very important. I mean, you guys all have coffee and lunch and late nights together, a lot of talking, a lot of collaborating, no doubt about it. And I'm curious your read on the quarterback situation. So A.J. McCarron, he is let go, basically. You move on from him, I should say. And now, is it a competition? How do you see this right now?
I do think it's a competition. And Manny Wilkins is coming back from last year. Manny knows the system, in and out. But, the two guys, Max Duggan and Chevin Cordero, I mean, those guys are going to bring in some competition that is going to be good. And with Manny, he knows these guys. And I think that gives him, it gives him a leg up initially. And we'll see how he runs with that. And Manny did a really good job for us as a back. He was ready to go when AJ got hurt there at the end of the year and was and popped in and played a couple games. But we will say, and again, they all have, slightly different skill sets, but, they are all different from AJ. I'll tell you that, AJ, was a drop back type passer. And, these guys might bring a little extra juice in some other areas, but we'll see what happens, and it's going to be fun to watch them go. We only have 15 practices before we make cuts, so the decisions are going to be made pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'd want to throw to Hakeem Butler if I were quarterback, man. The 6'5", about 225-pound Iowa State Cyclone. By the way, you have a Cyclone on the staff, Seneca Wallace. I covered a couple of his games back in the day with Iowa State. Boy, he was tough.
Yeah, and he's when you hear him coach, you realize how much knowledge the guy has from playing the position, and he does a good job. Well, I've listened to him talk to these quarterbacks already, and I mean he is very detailed, but he's not using some language that a quarterback of his capacity could be using and maybe overwhelming him. He actually teaches it from the ground up, and it's amazing just listening to him do that, because he's played the position for one at a high level. And I mean, for him to come in here, and he got hired not that long ago, and I mean, he's got the offense down, and I mean, we're going to be ready to go. He's going to do a good job with those quarterbacks.
I'm looking forward to it all. The St. Louis Battlehawks open the season at Houston. That's going to be on Friday, March 28th, but the home opener, April 6th, against San Antonio. Let's see the dome packed and the noise that it's famous for. And these football fans are hungry. You can get tickets at UFLBattlehawks.com. And we've been talking to Battlehawks assistant coach Kyle Kasky on KMOX. Thanks so much for this, Coach. We appreciate you.
Hey, thank you. We're all excited to see those guys back at the dome too, man. So we're ready to go.
I bet you are. Kyle Kasky, running backs coach, special teams coordinator with the St. Louis Battlehawks. Great to hear from him. Great to talk some football on the show. When we come back, we'll talk to Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. He will join us live from Jupiter, Florida, next.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
With Marquise Grissom Jr. pitching for the Washington Nationals and Thomas Ajayi at the plate for the Cardinals. A swing and a ground ball. Base hit! Redbird winner! Ajayi singles in Dakota Harris, and the Cardinals walk off this game winning 3-2 over the Nats.
What a walk-off, as John Rooney had the call on KMOX yesterday. Cardinals back on the air today for a 12-10 start against the Marlins, 12 o'clock pregame, and we welcome in for a little bit here. We always appreciate John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, joining us live. Hello, Mo.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Doing great. So JC with walk-off, I love that. And hearing Wilson Contreras hit a bomb 453 feet, has that landed yet? I don't know. 114 off the bat, That was quite an emphatic swing and home run from Contreras.
Yeah, it was loud, I can tell you that, and it went far. No, it was good. He's had some really good at-bats in the first week of camp, and that's great to see. You know, definitely making adjustments, playing first base, and, you know, from early returns, that's looked pretty positive. So, you know, I definitely think it's going to deepen our lineup if we're able to get production out of him from first base / DH. And, you know, I think 3 weeks left in this camp, so still a lot to go through, but so far so good.
Yeah, there's a lot to evaluate. Roster and then position, who's going to play where. How do you see first base? Baker's going to get the start today. I know that Contreras obviously can play DH whenever you need him.
Yeah, that's right. And I would also throw Burley into that discussion, too, in the sense that, you know, depending on how you want to match up against the opposing pitcher, gives you some flexibility. But definitely Baker right now, he's vying for a spot on this roster. And I think being able to play first base helps, but also that right-handed bat off the bench is also something that's very intriguing. Obviously a very successful hitter at AAA. And clearly has really impressive splits against left-hand pitching.
Sure does. And then the lefty bat of Burleson, obviously, as you said, plays at first DH. And what does it all mean for Gorman? You definitely want Gorman to get as many ABs as possible. Off to a slow start, but, you know, it's March 2nd. It's spring training. He's working and has been working for quite a while here.
Yeah, I think, you know, drawing any conclusions today is probably not helpful for anyone. But as you touched on it, he has gotten off to a slow start. I think he really just needs to focus on thinking about left center field and trying to drive the ball that way consistently. And if he does, I think the natural pull will happen. So let's, you know, give it a few weeks, see where it looks. But I know he's diligently trying to figure some things out and make some adjustments.
First week of games, your overall impression, some things that perhaps jumped out to you, Mo?
You know, I think right now the vibe in camp's positive, which is nice to see. Obviously, there was, you know, a lot of rumblings and all sorts of things going on this offseason, but here we are, and, you know, I feel like as a whole, we're getting along, we're gelling, and that part's great. So I think, you know, just changing the ebb and flow of the day, which is something that we were able to do this week with games, has been good to see. And then even this week, we start to mix in our first night game. So, and we also have a split this week. So lots going on this week. And, you know, I think the key thing is just, you know, keep going, keep working, keep to the plan, and hopefully positive things will happen.
Yeah, I can see that. A routine starts to come into play. You go from working out to getting into games, as you mentioned. Steven Matz gets the start today. I see that Quinn Matthews was sent to minor league camp. Not a huge shocker there, as you continue to work your pitching prospect into becoming a big leaguer.
Yeah, it is. It becomes so hard to get innings for starters. And, you know, obviously Quinn's somebody we think a lot about, and we ultimately want him just to be able to prepare for the season in a normal way and not shortchange him just to keep him in camp and not be able to get him those innings. And I would imagine later today we'll have more players going down, and we'll make that announcement then. But, you know, obviously as you turn the calendar, each week goes by, you will typically see a camp reduction each week, and I would anticipate more players going out this afternoon.
What did you think so far of your starting rotation? You're going to get Matz going today, obviously. A big every start is big, but just to get him the work that he needs.
I think a couple things with Steven is, one, he's just got to show that he can be healthy. I mean, that's obviously an important part of having a successful year. The other thing is just, you know, believe in himself. He's got really good stuff, and when he's on, he can be a very dominating pitcher in this league.
I understand the intrigue of the situation the Cardinals are in, and now a transition. I read Ken Rosenthal's story where he talked to you a little bit. Yeah, I respect the heck out of Ken, but I mean, the first couple lines where he said that there was a promise of a reset. I don't remember there being a promise of a reset. I mean, I think that it was talked about. There was an intention to trade Nolan Arenado. Where do you see yourself now in terms of the direction of the club?
Well, I've always tried to never speak in absolutes, and I think I learned that a long time ago. So the one thing we publicly stated was payroll would come down, and it will be lower than it once was. In terms of like how we want to advance this organization, it's really twofold. One is we're trying to, you know, really thread a needle here by, you know, lowering that payroll, but also remaining competitive. And if in that thinking, it's really about, you know, trying to keep our fan base engaged in believing in what we're doing. Fortunate that we are picking fifth in this year's draft. So, you know, we're going to continue to build up that farm system, but in the meantime, try to win a few games. And if the season doesn't go as planned, then there'll be some different levers we can pull. But, you know, I certainly feel like from ownership on down, we are trying to go out there and get back to October.
And just finally, you know, the minor league system, of course, is being revamped. I'll bet you there are a lot of new faces down there walking around, collaborating. Not that you weren't before, but now the intentions are very strong, and you haven't even opened, you know, completely opened up everything else yet. You got to see some minor leaguers start to really get after it.
Yeah, so minor league camp has opened, mm-hmm. So that's full throttle. But yeah, there are a lot of new faces. Obviously, we made a large investment in minor league personnel, so there's definitely a lot of new coaches running around the backfields, and hopefully. You know, in a couple of years, we see returns from that. But in the meantime, guys are getting in their work. And, you know, right now it's kind of fun to be out on the quad because there's a lot going on.
I'll bet there is. I appreciate the time, as always. Thank you for joining us from Jupiter. The Cardinals are taking on the Marlins today, and I know it's a busy day. So thank you for dropping in. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Sounds good, Tommy. Thank you.
Thank you. Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak always chiming in with the news of the day and what's going on with the club. We're going to talk to Bernie Miklas all about it coming up here in just a little bit, 11:38 on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We're coming from the Stiefel Sports Studio, and again, we are a half hour away from baseball. Don't go anywhere. The Cardinals are coming up next. All right, we've had a show chock full of information going from Matt Pauly to Josh Schertz to Joey Vitale to Olaf Melberg to John Mozeliak. We also had Kyle Kasky the running backs coach, special teams coordinator for the St. Louis Battlehawks, right before Mo. And now we go to Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. I kind of liked, and we're going to talk a lot of baseball, but I got rejuvenated talking football with Kyle Kasky. You know, you and I covered the Rams for a long time. Man, I love talking about the old gridiron.
Yeah, we've got so many great memories of the Greatest Show on Turf. And then if you go back before that, of course, I don't have to tell you the Eric Auriel and Jim Hart and Terry Metcalf, Dan Dierdorf, all those guys. So it's been there's been some wonderful times in St. Louis football. I got to tell you what, I think the Battlehawks were right on time as far as, you know, when they emerged in the XFL, whatever we're calling it these days. But no, they're fun. They understand the community. They reach out. They're part of they get their fans fully engaged, and they're a lot of fun. So, I mean, it's fun to support them either as a fan or as a media person.
There's a lot going on around right now. You got the Battlehawks getting ready at the Dome. City played a scoreless draw last night out in San Diego. College basketball. Holy smokes. Dude, what about the Billikens? Dropping 98 on Loyola. Holy cow.
Yeah, Jimerson, he set a school record, program record, 9 threes. Their big threes really doing a nice job lately. So they're up, and the Billikens are up tied for third place in the conference. But what I like about this, and I hope they can stay hot, because then it'll give them a chance to be a live upset contender in the conference tournament, you know, where you look at them and say, well, what the heck, the way they're playing, they could steal this thing and get in the NCAA tournament. But we got a little bit of time before that. But you got to like the way they're trending anyway.
I do, too. I think Mizzou will be fine. They lose in overtime at Vanderbilt, but they'll be fine. Illinois got a big challenge today here in a few hours at Michigan, but they got to try to put the gas pedal down and see what they can do. I'll tell you what, I will admit it, I wrote the Blues off. I did not think that they would be where they are now, let alone what they could be here in a week or so. They look unbelievable. I mean, I don't even know what to say. They looked incredible at Washington. Then they come home in a game they usually would lay an egg there. You know, this old Blues team, they were win one, lose one. They come out and smack the Kings. Bernie, they look like a different team.
They really do. And I want to point something out, because the 4-game winning streak, which is wonderful, but that's getting most of the attention, which I totally get, because that's coming out of the Four Nations tournament break. But they actually, the two games before that, you know, they had a win and they got a point in an overtime loss. So it's not just they won four in a row. You know, you go back to February 8th, they're 5-0-1 in their last six. And I just looked this up. The only team better in the league since February 8th are the Tampa Bay, I almost said Rays, excuse me, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Blues over this time, you know, of this 5-0-1 stretch that they're on, they have scored like 66% of the goals. I mean, they're not just winning. They've been basically dominating teams. And I looked at Money Puck this morning. See, Tom, I had a feeling you'd ask me about the Blues, so I had to come prepared. Their playoff odds are now 33%. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but a few weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, they were something like 6 or 7%. So, and they're 1 point out of a spot. Now, the hard part is going to be sustaining the success, because the Blues have been up and down. But this has been a pleasant turn, a pleasant twist in the season-long narrative, for sure.
It sure has. A 4-1 win over the Kings. They play today at 5 against the Dallas Stars. Seems like the Blues are playing every day, and they just about are after their 2-week layoff for the Four Nations faceoff. Not for Jordan Binnington. He obviously played, in Colton Parayko, but they were right back at it yesterday. Parayko scored. Binnington with 25 saves. Pretty impressive. All right,
By the way, how about Parayko with 15 goals this season? That's awesome.
The dude looks incredible. I mean, he's fighting in the Four Nations faceoff. The guy's scoring. The Blues look like a different team. I don't want to get too excited, but I am. I can't help it. All right, let's spend the next 7-8 minutes talking baseball. I just talked to John Mozeliak. I asked him about Ken Rosenthal's story. Hearing him say they're trying to thread the needle, trying to stay competitive, please their fans, while also keeping this team young and moving forward. You and I have talked about this on the Gas House Gang, but it is intriguing to me. I'm neither for or against where they are? I'm just intrigued because you just don't see this very often in sports. Usually it's one or the other. A team will tear down or a team will go all in. You don't often see a team still think they can be competitive and do this at the same time.
Yeah, I was listening to the interview with Mo, and I try to catch a lot of sports on the Sunday morning, but I was listening to Mo, and he seemed to be in good spirits. And there's some really good things going on in spring training that you look at and say, wow, that's really encouraging to see, like, Victor Scott pick up where he left off late last season when he was really, really good. You've got some players vying for jobs that maybe we didn't anticipate, like Jose Barrero, the utility infielder who used to be Cincinnati's number one prospect. So Tecoa Roby, right on down the line. I didn't mean to go off course here. But he said, we're trying to keep our fan base engaged and believing in what we're doing. And I have to say, I know that's what they're trying to do, but it's going to be really, really difficult. But let me say this. That's a very difficult needle to thread. Very difficult. Because as you know, man, I don't have to tell you. I mean, you know, the fans are very disappointed. They're down on everything. It's just the reality of being in this situation. But the one thing the Cardinals can do is it's all kind of up to the players, which is there's a lot of these players – they're capable of doing better than what they've done. And it's not me being Mr. Fred Bird to say that, because if you look at Walker, you look at Gorman, you look at both of them in 2023, you look at what Burleson did last year for the first 5 months. We know Donovan's very good. We know Nootbaar is really good when he can stay on the field. We know Wilson Contreras is going to hit. You have Mason Wynn, one of the best young shortstops in baseball. I think Arenado's still got some juice left in his bat, you know, to an extent. And I could go on and on and on. And I know some people are rolling their eyes, and that's fine. I don't care, because I've been very critical of things. I never hesitate to do that if I think it's warranted. But you look at this team, there is the potential for them to do better than what people thought. Now, I don't know about the starting rotation. That's going to be a big question mark. And, of course, the bullpen is going to have to be phenomenal the way it was last year. But it is not like the Cardinals are, you know, they have this lineup full of rookies and, you know, and all this stuff. They have guys that if you look at, you go to Baseball Reference and look each one of them up, you can see in the very recent past that they were really good hitters. Now they just all have to get back to doing that again. And the more of them that can do it at the same time, that's where the Cardinals could be surprised. And I'm saying could be a surprise. And if there is a foundation for thinking that's not crazy to even say. Just look at their number in recent seasons.
I can see it. I mean, you know, at the same time, I do wonder how they could be a player in the division, because it all has to come together at once, or does it? I mean, if you look at the veterans on this team, you mentioned Arenado. Contreras is an interesting case because we didn't get to see him all last year. And I think that he's still young enough and has a lot to prove and a lot of pride to be an all-star player. I really am intrigued with this first base situation they put themselves in, with Baker getting a start today. I'm not sure how much run he gets, but who knows? Against lefties, the guy crushes the ball. And then you got Burleson. And then you got Gorman, who's going to DH today. And if Gorman goes 0-3, I believe that puts him at 0-15 for the spring, which... is that a cause for concern?
I'm sorry, Tom. You cut out there, or I cut out there. What part is the concern? I'm sorry, my friend.
Gorman. If Gorman goes 0-4, so you know, you start to look at this DH spot. Contreras gets some, Burleson gets some, Gorman gets some, but needs as many at bats as possible. Tricky situation if Gorman continues to go 0-4.
Well, see, and this is, you know, a lot of times we all talk about, and I'm asked a lot about, well, what really matters in spring training? We had a discussion on the Gas House Gang recently on that, and we encourage people to watch that weekdays at noon St. Louis time, go to the KMOX or go to YouTube. Anyway, you know, what really matters? What stats really matter? And one of the things I've always thought is when a player is coming off a bad year, that even though he's a veteran and all of that stuff, you still want to see some signs of progress. And you also want to see the said player have a lot more confidence. So from that standpoint, like, I don't really care what a lot of veterans do statistically in spring training. I just don't. But with a guy like Gorman and a guy like Walker, we'll use them as the examples. You really want to see them have success in spring training because it's something they can build on and carry over through to the start of the regular season. So, yeah, I would hope that Gorman would get going real quick.
What about from a pitching standpoint today? You're going to see Steven Matz. The move of Quinn Matthews going to minor league camp is not much of a shocker.
No, and I haven't scanned the social media for reaction. I'm sure some people are howling about that. But listen, Quinn Matthews will be pitching for the Cardinals if he, as long as he stays healthy and as long as he has this excellent form that he has. Quinn Matthews is going to be starting games for the Cardinals this season. I can't predict when. We know that injuries happen. We also know that he could force the issue by pitching great at Memphis for a couple of months. So I heard what John Mozeliak said, and I totally agree with him. You know, he's not going to make the team coming out of spring training because for all the reasons we've talked about, the best thing he can do is get ready to pitch and just kill everybody at AAA early in the season. And the best way to do that is to, you know, start to get in your routine because innings are hard to find for starting pitchers from this point out in training camp.
We have about a minute till we get to our break before Cardinal baseball. The Cardinals with a noon pregame today and a 12:10 first pitch. That's because the Cardinals are technically the road team today. They are taking on the Marlins at their home at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. The Cardinals going up against a Miami team today on KMOX. We'll have John Rooney, Mike Claiborne, Ricky Horton, Ryan Schulte, Jim Jackson, Matt Pauly. They've all been down there representing us. I'll be down there in a week. And Bernie Miklas has been joining us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Always does a terrific job tying it all together. Make sure that you follow him on YouTube at The Bernie Show. He's had some great stuff up there. Most recently, he wrote a column about the Cardinals Hall of Fame ballot, which I found very interesting. Bernie, thanks so much for the visit today. We appreciate it.
Dom, love being with you, buddy. Take care.
We'll see you on the Gas House Gang tomorrow. Bernie's visit sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. So we are going to turn things over to Cardinal baseball here at 11:55. We take a break at noon. It is time for the network to take over. For our producer, Drew Young, and all of our great guests, also earlier produced by James O'Sullivan, I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks for joining us on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.